Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Will T and myself, Bo Lay, the homie Ray GGZ out, and we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. What's going on, Will T?
Nothing much, sir. How are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. You know.
Long time since I've been here.
I know,
man.
But glad to have you back in the studio, man. You know what
yeah,
time
man.
It.
Absolutely. You know, tonight's one of my favorite nights
tell
of the
why,
year.
Tell them why, bro. Tell them why.
The tip-off of the NBA season has started.
We here, man. It's wild. Like, time goes by fast, man.
It really does.
Like, the Warriors just won the championship. The Celtics are playing right now. They're playing the Boston Celtics. I mean, the Philadelphia 76ers. But these two, like, the Warriors and the Celtics just wrapped up the NBA Finals. And now we're here.
Yep. So there are a couple of milestones as you had the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. Then you have Vegas Summer League.
True.
Then you have the preseason. Vegas Summer League mm-hmm. along with free agency. And, you know, now we're here.
Oh, man, we have to be so here now, man. We can embrace it, man. We don't get this often, man. We basketball, the beginning of basketball season is hope for everybody. Even the Wizards.
Yeah, man. I mean, for me, this is like the time of the year when I start to lose a lot of sleep because I just stay up and I watch basketball. And then you got to watch if it's on TNT, then you got to watch the post game show.
Yeah, it's hard, man. I just go on YouTube and watch it because nowadays I don't know if I can stay up that late to watch it.
I understand.
I'm Asian, bro. Like, it's wild. Like, I'm like, yo.
I understand you. Like, I take a nap sometimes during the game.
You do it during the games, though?
Yeah, I do. Like, you know, all right. I'm not all the time, but all right, this is my system.
Gotcha.
So if we have an early game, an 8 a.m., an 8 p.m. game.
I'm with you.
If the game isn't close at the start of the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
I usually set my alarm for like 30 minutes.
Okay.
Go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Wake back up. Then I can watch the next game. Now I missed the tip-off.
Yeah.
But I usually catch it like sometimes like 10, you know, like
my man got a
10, min- 10 minutes. Yeah, I do. 10 minutes gone after the 10 minutes after the 10 minutes to the first quarter.
Mm.
So, you know. I got it, you know, and that's dependent upon if I want to see the second game or not.
You have a real schedule.
I do. I do, man. I loved it. I love
it's the best time,
basketball.
Man. It is. Like, it's exciting. Like I said, like, a lot of teams have hope. And, like, I do like seeing watching rookies. For me, I love seeing the rookies, see what they're going to do, and just see what, you know, if they could do any damage. But, mention Empire Media. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kine Report. Hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kine and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Hey, don't forget to subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. We're doing big things. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit that red button. Also, hit the like button on multiple videos. It's great for the algorithm.
What's up, man? Alright, this show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene, hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Hey, check out our weekly NFL picks on the Football Garbage Time website. Just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's part of the Urban Sports Scene Football Garbage Time Challenge. How are you doing in LA?
Terrible.
Me too. I think I am too.
The week before last, I didn't even make a pick.
You're terrible. Go ahead.
Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
Hey, Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
We'll talk about the Washington Commanders beating the Chicago Bears, if you want to call it that, and their upcoming game against the Green Bay Packers. At 8:25, we'll preview the Washington Wizards season and their season opener against the Indiana Pacers. Double Take Sports Wizards reporter Karita Parks will join us for that segment. At 8:40, we'll talk about a heavy boxing weekend, which highlighted Devin Haney beating Kambosos and Deontay Wilder KOing Helenius. Finally, in our segment, well, actually, also let me shout out to Caleb Plant.
Yeah,
KOing Darrell. Anthony Darrell.
Drilled him.
Jeez, we won't get to that anyway. That was vicious. Finally, in our segment, in our HBCU corner segment, we have a pre-tape interview with Bethune-Cookman tight end Kamari Averant. But first, I can do this, bro. I got it. It's in my face right now. Last Thursday, the Washington Commanders defeated the Chicago Bears 12-7. What were your thoughts on Washington's performance, my man?
First of all, man, my bad. Basketball's on, so
No. That's not you. No, believe me. I was reading already. I was already going to
talk. It's all good, bro, man.
Go ahead, bro.
What did I think of last Thursday's game? It continued the
performance. Washington's performance.
I'm going to talk about the overall.
Go ahead,
I'm going to say it continued the streak of bad football on Thursday. You know, we had the previous week. We had
Russell.
Yeah, we had the Colts and we had the Broncos. Then we had Washington versus
the Bears.
Yeah, uh-huh. So it continued the streak of very bad football on Thursday nights. That's one. Uh-huh. Two. If you're a Washington fan, seeing Carson Wentz's performance, not that you want anyone to get injured, but you're almost thinking, look, man, I know what I'm getting with Taylor Heineke, and I know it's not going to be elite quarterbacking, but it's going to be a hell of a lot better than what I saw on Thursday night from Carson Wentz.
We all got to remember last year.
We do. Like, Wole, let me ask you this question. Uh-huh. And unbiased.
Oh, I am. Believe me, I'm not a. This is a. Real...
Now I know that you know, Ron Rivera had his comments about the quarterback, and you know,
in that game, yeah.
You know, and then Carson Wentz, his lack of time with this team was one of the issues,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you had a guy who's kind of been in this offense for 3 years, like, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
Don't you think this would at least provide the guy, hashtag fire,
Scott Turner.
Hashtag.
It's probably a hashtag.
A hashtag that you started.
Yes.
Don't you think this will at least allow him to open to open up the playbook a little bit more?
I don't think so, because I mean, if you watch even last season, so it's wild because I get a lot of fans on Twitter like trying to give me flack about saying, and we'll get into this topic later, but I'll talk about this quarterback and in terms of Taylor Heineke. No knock on Heineke, a lot of heart, but in terms of opening to get the playbook last season, like they had to close the playbook because he kept throwing interceptions because they tried to, you know, Scott Turner loves to throw the football, so they tried to throw the football. And he was throwing a lot of interceptions. So when they got on that winning streak, what did they do? They just ran the ball a lot and played play action off of that. So the playbook, when everyone talks about opening up the playbook with the guy, there's limits to opening it up. Yeah, right? Running, like him running the football. Him personally running the football. Yeah. That's opening up. Because Carson is slow. Like, he's slow now. It's wild. Like, he's even slower than he used to be. And he wasn't slow, but he was actually, he could run. He was mobile. But he's slower. He just, Father Time is undefeated.
The injuries.
Yeah, that too. That too, true. But when people want to glorify the winning streak and he won seven games, they limited him throwing the football because this is the truth. Like, and I said, he has a lot of heart, but we watched Brett Favre, right? Mm-hmm. He threw a lot of picks.
Gunslinger.
He's a gunslinger. But he was a gunslinger with what?
With a strong arm.
What are your gun? If you're a gunslinger with a weak arm, what does that do?
Okay, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
It seems as if,
yeah,
and I know we're getting off topic a little bit. It seems as if this team has had success under Ron Rivera and Scott Turner when they've had the ability to run the ball and play action.
Facts.
Passing game.
Facts.
You added Jahan Dotson, who's another speedster, yeah, along with Terry McLaurin.
Yes.
And you have Curtis Samuel.
Yes.
Do you think that at least opens up the possibilities for you to push the ball, not down the field like 20 plus yard passes, but more in the intermediate area, in that 10 to 15.
It's got to get there. I think they're open. I mean, their guy's open. I won't say that. But also, the line does play a part. Like, can he get enough time to push the ball that far? You know what I mean? This is my thing. I think that, and you know, Will, you were an Eagles fan at the time.
So I have a rebuttal to one of those things. Okay. I think he will because Carson Wentz holds the ball.
No, but too long. But he does. But if you look at the clocks, there's a clock. Okay. They're getting pressure with him in 2 seconds. They ain't holding the ball. You're just getting hit. That's just a bad line. The okay. Washington line is bad. Ron Rivera has neglected the line. Even that Bears game, if you watch, he wasn't holding the ball that long. He was just getting smacked. You know what I mean? You got guards getting bullied. You know what I mean? Like, that's just an issue with Pat. That's just an issue. But well, the Bears was better, and it's wild. The Bears was probably – that one was probably better than the rest of his, you know, some of the games he had prior. But in terms of, like, what – Carson had what I have an issue with Taylor Heineke and Carson Wentz and this whole thing is that when you look at like the game plan and we talk about coaching, you know what I'm saying? We all, you know, I'm gonna go back to something I wanted to talk about before, like I said about Carson Wentz. You know what Carson Wentz is. You used to be an Eagles fan, you know about Carson Wentz. You know that what he likes to hold the football. Yes. He likes to put a big play, right? That's his thing. Like,
He's an off schedule quarterback,
exactly. You decided to not put any emphasis on the O-line, and now you're paying for it right now, right? You know what you got. You signed up for it. You got a guy who likes to hold the football and make big plays with off of that alone. That's who he is. He's always been that. That's very consistent to who Carson Wentz is as a football player. Instead of like building that O-line around a quarterback who likes to hold the football so he can have that time to kind of go through, like get that big play, you didn't. Okay, that's on you. But in terms of telling Taylor Heineke what he's going to do best for this team, it's probably like the checkdowns. If everyone keep it a buck, the checkdowns will probably be in play more with a Taylor Heineke. So somebody like a J.D. McKissic will eat, you know. But in terms of like stretching the field, like bro, like when you play soft, sorry defenses, yes, it's gonna. He could still be able to do some things. Like, you know, I agree. But when he plays against defenses that are good, forget elite, good. Because if you watched the Cowboys game last year, you know what good defenses are gonna do to him. You playing the Philadelphia Eagles this season, you know what they're going to do to him. So he's going to still deal with pressure because this offensive line isn't blocking. And he's still going to deal with, like, you know, and secondary play, they're not going to respect you. So if I know that you can't throw it over me, like Terry, we've seen plays where Terry McLaurin last season was beating people deep. He underthrew him, so he had to come back for the ball. That was either picked or he almost got damaged trying to come back for the football. Same thing, even De'Ami Brown, you saw the two bombs for Carson Wentz. Heineke isn't making that pass. Doesn't have the arm strength to make that pass. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, man.
So you're going to start a new hashtag, put in Sam Howe?
You already know what time it is, bro. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Right. You already know. But I'm going to ask this, question to our Washington fans about, you know, did this win give the Commanders hope? Right? I asked this question, and let me go to my Twitter. Actually, my man on Twitter, Timus, said we won. It wasn't pretty, but we've all knocked down some ones and twos before.
Wow. Hey. I mean, so, hey, listen.
Hey, I'm just saying. Sometimes you got to take a, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes folks, they've been taking some L's. Some folks have taken some L's.
I mean, some wins are lost. In other words.
Hey, that was funny, man. Appreciate you, homie. Look for another. Also, my man on Facebook, Cornelius said, nope, the Bears just blew it at the end. It wasn't a Washington win more than really a Bears failure to execute. Yeah, I thought the Bears had a good chance. I thought the last play of the game, the Bears had that touchdown. I thought he just dropped it.
I did too.
I thought Mooney just dropped it.
I thought Mooney just dropped it.
I know they wanted to get St. Juice credit, but I thought Mooney just dropped it. So.
Yeah, I think he just dropped it. Yeah. And also, man, the Bears, you got it. Listen, I don't know if Justin Fields is the answer or not.
I'm going to tell you, boy, I can tell you what it is. People say I'm biased. I'm a Michigan fan, but I'm going to tell you what the truth.
No. In your opinion, no?
Yeah, huh? He ain't. I feel bad for it's not. He has talent. He got to be debugged. Like, that's the thing. When you go to Ohio State, their system is not conducive to teaching NFL quarterbacks. Concepts. It's good for college. You know, it's the same with Steve Spurrier in Florida. Like, all the numbers that Danny Warfel and all these dudes, Shane Matthews, what's it, Rex Grossman, all these dudes put up numbers in Florida. They got into the league and did what? Squat.
Rex Grossman took a team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, he was the highest one. But he still wasn't, at the end of the day, like the most, he still wasn't as good as he was putting up in college, numbers he was putting up in college. I'm just saying, like, this dude, if he did what Joe Burrow did, God bless Joe Burrow. He left Ohio State and went to LSU and got some teaching. You saw what the same coach almost did to Trevor Lawrence in the NFL.
That's true.
I'm just telling you, man. Like, I think that for him, but I'll say this though: for Justin Fields, he needs to go to he needs an offense similar to what Jalen Hurts is doing in Philadelphia. I feel like if he gets that type of offense, he could be a better quarterback. Because I do think he's a better passer than Jalen Hurts. He was initially. I think Jalen Hurts has improved, though. I'm going to give him his flowers. I think he has improved as a passer. But I think he needs to go to a different – there needs to be a system tailored to him.
I have one more question for you that's off topic. That's not on the outline.
Gotcha. I'm with you.
Did you see the pregame show for the Bears – the Amazon pregame show with for the Bears and Commanders game?
No, I didn't. I think I've heard of it.
Oh, when Ryan Fitzpatrick,
yes, I did.
He said pretty much that they coach quarterbacks.
Scott Turner. I know. I know this.
he doesn't coach towards a quarterback's strengths. Yeah. He coaches towards you need to. I'm going to, even if you're a square, I'm going to put you in this round hole. Which in this round hole is my system.
Yes.
Did you? That was a very interesting comment.
Yeah, I saw the clip. I ain't watch it. But I saw the clip. #Fire Scott Turner. See, it's real. I'm telling you. Like that's bad coaching. That's bad coaching.
I mean, but in his, I'm not defending it. Defending it.
Yeah, I know.
But I will say, in his defense, most NBA. That's what I love this league.
Yeah.
NBA. NFL coaches. They coach quarterbacks to play in their system.
Yeah.
The great offensive coordinators and great coaches understand, all right, my system is kind of a parameter.
Yes.
What do you do well, and we can implement that or some of those principles and philosophies into our offense.
Yeah. Everybody has a system, you're right. But then when you get talent, you kind of adjust your system, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had it here. Let's keep it a buck. We've all watched Mike Shanahan's won Super Bowls with the Denver Broncos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Him and his son came to Washington. They drafted. Word is they didn't even want this particular quarterback. They wanted Kirk Cousins, right? That's the word. But they got this quarterback because the owner wanted them to get this quarterback, right? That's the word. And what did they do? They put a whole offense based on this one dude and his talents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And made him look all world. You know, he was looking all, and his talent too helped. I'm not going to take any credit away from him, but he looked all world.
Yeah,
that's what coaching does. That's when you're offensive coordinator, you do what's best for that. You put that player in the best position to be successful. You don't ask a player who plays this way to do something different. For instance, all right, you knew again. I'm gonna use Wentz example. Wentz has played in what system all of his life?
He's played in. That Andy Reid, West Coast,
yes,
yeah, that
right.
West Coast office, but office was spread basically. Was spread principles.
Basically, the Andy Reid system, because they both came from the Andy Reid tree, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a whole different tree. So you didn't try to implement any of that type of system for a guy who's only been in one system. Is that being stubborn? Is that good coaching? No, that's being stubborn. When he said that, I was like. That's my point. A lot of people were like, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't count. He only played for this team, barely played for this team. And he would say he took, like, what, 3 snaps? Look, man, he's a quarterback.
He's a veteran quarterback. He's well seasoned.
Forget who you think he is. He's not Dan Marino, whatever. He's been in this system. He is telling you what this offensive coordinator is all about. He told you facts. Did he say that's a horrible thing or anything like that? No. He told you that this coordinator – doesn't change his things. He doesn't change his offense for the talent. You got to fit his system. That's just a fact.
That's true.
Right? Where is the negative? Because like you said, Will, a lot of coaches do that, right?
Yes.
So to me, this coordinator here, he showed you who this coordinator is. And so when he struggles from year 1 to year 2 to year 3, this is the reason why. I don't never, no, I don't feel bad for that dude. Okay, no, sorry. I got no, nothing for that guy.
All right. Enough with last week. Let's go into this week. The Commanders now face Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers next on Sunday. News broke over the weekend that Commanders quarterback Carson Wentz fractured a finger during the Bears game. It looks like Wentz will be out 4 to 6 weeks. Taylor Heinicke, which we discussed a little bit earlier in this segment, will be the starter instead of Sam Howell against the Packers. Is that the right decision?
Is that the right decision? For me, no. And I'm gonna tell you, why I think it's the wrong decision. It's because we're looking at Taylor Heinicke. All right, so how would you rate Taylor Heinicke?
I would.
Is he an NFL starter? You?
No. All right. I don't think he's an NFL starter, right. And unless it's spot duty or maybe a game or preferably a half, I probably wouldn't want him under center for me.
Okay, facts. Okay. How much do you think, he's better, flat out better than Sam Howell?
I think at this moment, he has a better grasp of the offense and the philosophies and what they want to do from an offensive perspective within the framework of Scott Turner's
for offense.
Yes.
All right. So this is my next question for that, because that's a valid answer. People have used that answer. I think it's a valid answer. What attributes makes him better in terms of physical attributes makes him better than Sam Howell?
Only thing I would say if you're asking me to evaluate both games, I think Taylor Heinicke is more elusive and can create plays off schedule better than Sam Howell potentially.
Yes, but Sam Howell can do that though.
It's the difference between you doing that at D1 college and North Carolina versus you in the pros, because the defense is a lot faster.
Yeah, I agree. They are faster. So he showed, I guess if you don't say third string, everybody says that. He was doing it in the preseason, being elusive and whatever. It's something about being a gamer. But that's okay. You're right, though. I get what you're saying. Good point. One is an undrafted dude. So if I use the argument everybody uses, one is an undrafted, a journeyman, 30-something, he's about 30, 32, 31, 32, and Taylor Heinicke, right? Mm-hmm. You are who you are. This is my argument to folks about why I think, one, you're not playing for anything. I don't care what you're telling me. You're 2-4, you look pathetic. Let's keep it a buck.
You're not out of it.
But you look pathetic. So, now you're going to go with a guy that you already know about, which you're going to probably do, because if you're going to, this is the thing, what you're probably going to do, and this is a factual statement, and anybody can argue with me all you want. They're going to run the hell out of the football. That's what they're going to do.
They're going to try to run.
Exactly. They're going to be really relentless with running the football. This is a fact. They're going to try to do the same exact thing that they did last year when Taylor Heinicke, when they got that winning streak. And they're going to put him in positions for him not to turn the football over. They're going to have him manage the football game. Basically, that's what they're going to have him do.
They're going to give him one half of the field to concentrate manage on, the football, run the football, and play football good game. Defense.
Exactly. Attempt to play good defense. And their defense has improved over the last some odd games with Del Rio. You can do that with the rookie. You can do that with the rookie. If you're going to tell me that you're going to, manage the football, do a couple bootlegs, take a couple shots, if you can, you can do that with the rookie. The only thing that Taylor Heinicke does to me better, like you just said, Wilty, is run. Yeah, he's a better athlete than Sam Howell. But I think Sam Howell throws a better deep ball than him. I think in terms of accuracy, we don't even talk about accuracy. In terms of accuracy, is Taylor Heinicke more accurate than Sam Howell? I know that he missed a lot of passes too last year. Floated them high, had them late, set receivers up. This is my argument. Why are we acting like this dude is worth the debate of Sam Howell or not? Like, I get, if it's a vet that's past his prime, but he's a vet and has clout, like a Matt Ryan, right? I get a Matt Ryan. I'm with that. Okay. So if Matt Ryan was struggling and folks were like, we don't want to throw the rookie in there. No, because Matt Ryan has been a Super Bowl MVP. He's done stuff. He's not Super Bowl. He's won MVP.
He's accomplished things.
Yeah, he won MVP. He's been to the Super Bowl. He's accomplished something. Or Flacco. I can get that. He's won a Super Bowl. He's accomplished something. But we really out here fighting for Taylor Heinicke Like, is that serious?
All great points, but let me ask you this other question. Do you think that it's possible that the coaching staff, and you know, the offensive coaching staff, believes from what they see in practice that Sam Howell just isn't ready?
It's possible, but I would say this: Will, has his coaching staff been right?
That's a great question.
That's what, and that's what the fans, and I've heard that with John Kime. He was like, "Well, this coaching staff says he's not ready. This coaching staff says he's not ready." All right, has this coaching staff been wrong?
I mean, yes. Yes.
So when you tell me to put faith in a coaching staff that's been wrong, I mean, all right, what kind of argument is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I get why people want it. Like, I get why people want to say, well, it's easy. It's the easy thing. He's a rookie. He's a fifth rounder. But we had that same thought process. I'm just saying it's for real, the same thought process. There's no way Russell Wilson starts over Matt Flynn.
Yeah.
For real. Matt Flynn got paid the bag, was a vet, showed out in Green Bay that one, and everybody was in love with him. Pete Carroll was like, nah, I see something. But he, like, as a coach, that's Pete Carroll doing that. But some of these people who are out here, like, they use what they deem as logic. What they deem as logic is, this dude's been in the NFL, he did this against NFL players. Russell wasn't starting against freaking ones at that time. He was going against backups. Still putting numbers in preseason. Pete Carroll saw something, said, know what, this is going to be my guy.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
That's fair. There's multiple ways to look at the question.
Yeah. No, it's wild because, you know, even some of the reporters priorly would say that I would ask them questions. They were like, oh, he look. Who's the best quarterback? I would ask, who's the best looking quarterback in camp? A lot of people said Sam Howell. That's the funny thing. A lot of people said Sam Howell. They're like, he looked good. I was like, okay.
Well, my friend, I think you know what you have to do, man. You got to start another hashtag.
Man, look.
Listen, if Heineke blows up in a game, you know, meaning two interceptions and you don't get the halftime yet, right?
Yeah, the hashtag.
I think you got to bring out the hashtag.
Oh, bro, I'm trying. Dude, the hashtag coming. I'm out here. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm out here. I'm ready for the hashtag, man. I'm the one who lights the fire, bro. Like, I'm there. I light this fire. My man Cameron on Twitter about Heineke said, yes, he's talking about it should be can't. They made the right decision. He says, yes, because Heineke is more experienced. And I believe that the team will rally around Heineke more than Wentz. Yeah, man, we'll see, man.
Look, you're going against a team coming off a loss in the Packers.
They're struggling.
They're struggling.
That'll be honey iced tea.
No, it doesn't because, you know, Aaron Rodgers can get hot. Exactly. We all know that he's still, you know, he's the reigning MVP.
Yeah, he's Aaron Rodgers.
Yep, he's Aaron Rodgers. So
it is what it is.
Anything can happen.
All right, man. Well, the Wizards season starts Wednesday against the Pacers. Double Take Sports Wizards reporter Karina Parks will join us to discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces. On Empire Media, that's empiremedia.com.
It breaks my heart. They ain't believing us.
We the best music.
They play themselves. While you hating and being jealous, you could be over here embracing that love. More love, more blessings, more life. God did. Win with us, or you watch us win.
DJ Khaled.
They want us style, ooh, but look at us now. They counted us out.
Time to say a prayer.
They didn't think that we would make it up. They didn't
maybe bow our heads.
They just praying that I crash. But those guys, they don't want to see you last. That Jacob, $3 million above your tax. A tub full of money.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Ole, the homie Ray Jesus out, and we are part of Empire Media. at AntPyreMedia.com. All right, right now we have Double Take Sports, Washington Wizards reporter and co-host of the Triple W podcast, Karita Parks, on the line. What is good, Karita?
What's up? Glad to be here.
Glad to have you on. Karita's basketball season, aren't you hype?
I am hype. I can't believe it's basketball season already.
We were just talking about that, like the season just ended and now we're here.
I literally feel like it just ended. Like I've been saying it. I'm like, dang, I feel like it just ended and here we are again. But nonetheless, I'm happy it's back.
I know Will T's excited too, right, Will?
Absolutely, man. I'm focused. I'm locked in. Well, you know, usually, historically, I usually take this night off when we do the podcast.
You do, though. I was about to ask you. Yeah, I know you do, though. Real talk. Yeah. You do take this.
I usually take this night off so I can sit in the house and just watch basketball.
That's what I think Ray doing for real, real talk.
That's what I think
Ray
also.
Hey, Karita, the Wizards, you know, opened the season against the Indiana Pacers on Wednesday. What are the keys for a Wizards victory against the Pacers?
The biggest key really is defense, in my opinion. I think that's still, just from the preseason, that still seems to be one of their biggest issues. And we saw it in even their last preseason game. Defense wasn't up to par and where it needed to be. So for me, while there are, you know, other keys, I feel like that is the biggest key. And also with this team, because you have KP, who is expected to, Kristaps Porzingis, who is expected to start. You have him playing with alongside Brad for the first time. Then, you know, you have Kyle Kuzma in the bench. You have a lot of, and then you also have to think about Monte Morris. There's like a lot of new guys still. So getting that chemistry early, I think is going to be key. You don't want to be kind of going through the game a little choppy, but also a fast start. Like, we don't need a slow start. That's another issue that we've seen with the Wizards. They need to come out the gate quick, fast, and in a hurry.
How you doing, Karita? This is Will. Got a question.
What's
for you.
What's that, Will?
It's been a while since this team has had a presence on the low block. A guy with at the 4 to 5 position, advanced offensive skill set such as Kristaps Porzingis. Now, you take into account him and Bradley Beal, that's a pretty lethal 1-2 combination. How do you think these two guys will fare early on in the season, getting accustomed to playing with each other?
I think the biggest thing is they just have to get accustomed to playing with each other. We didn't get to see them a lot in the preseason together, but we did in Japan see a little bit from them, and they look like they'll be able to provide some excitement. So, like I said, I think the biggest key is just going to be them getting accustomed to playing together. But I think once they do, like you said, it's going to be a lethal combination. Also, you know, we got to hope KP stays healthy. That's going to also be a key. But I think if he can stay healthy, because even without Brad last year, you know, KP had a strong presence. So now you add Brad back into the mix, I think that that's going to be one of the big keys to the Wizards this season.
Another question for you. We've seen, you know, this team's had 3 draft picks in Rui Hachimura, Denny Avdija, and then also Corey Kispert. What do you think, this is the time where we start to see that progression from these 3 guys, and they can help to round out that rotation and make this a deeper, more dangerous offensive team?
I absolutely do. First of all, Corey, in my opinion, he had a pretty decent rookie year. He had to step up to the plate with some of the injuries. He talked about at Media Day some of the work that he's put in the offseason. So he's got a focus that I really like. So I think you're going to see him step up. We've already seen Rui, which we were hoping that he would do. I mean, we've seen Rui be very aggressive in the games thus far, and hopefully that carries on to the regular season. But he looks like he's really coming into his own. It took a little bit of time, especially with him missing those he missed quite a few games last season with the whole mental health situation that he was dealing with. So I think we're finally seeing him come around. And then Denny, I think once he gets over his injury, that's the only thing holding him back, but he seems a lot more confident as well. So I definitely think we're going to see another step from all of them.
So Karina, I think I read something. Are you surprised? Did they pick up the optional Ruiz rookie deal?
I didn't see that.
I don't think they did. I thought I read something that they didn't pick up the option. I got to check it out then.
You said they did or they did not?
Did not. I don't think they did.
Right. No. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you said they did.
No.
As far as I know, they have not picked up Ruiz option.
So to Will's point, talking about Ruiz, do you think Ruiz, there's a chance that Ruiz gets traded from this team this season or this during the season?
Oh, man. I hope not. I know it's that has come up just in general when I've been on other shows. Mm-hmm. It's come up, but it's just hard for me to see them trade away one of their first round draft picks. Mm-hmm. He is starting to really step up to the plate. And we've heard Coach actually, I think he got asked the question, like, who's kind of stood out to him the most as far as progressing their game. And he mentioned Rui. So I think it would take a lot to trade him away during the season.
So what do you I'm going to just still on Rui. What's going to be Rui's role then? Is he going to be off the bench, a sixth man? Is he going to start? It doesn't like he's going to, but is there a chance for him to start? I'm just trying to figure out, like, what do you think his role is going to be with this ball club?
I mean, that's true. I think you're going to see Rui come off the bench. Okay. I don't see him starting. And I guess, to your point, that is the issue there, right? Mm-hmm. Is you do have a first-round draft pick that more than likely is coming off the bench. And at this point in his career, you would like to see him starting, but I just don't really see him in the starting lineup consistently. I mean, there may be times, but I don't really see him consistently in the lineup. So, I mean, that is the question as far as something that would go into whether or not they think about trading Rui. But like I said, because of his youth as well, and I know that this is still a young team, they're kind of like in the win now mode, right? So that's where you need like your Will Barton and your Monte Morris and your Kyle Kuzma, right?
Yeah.
But then when it comes to the future, that's where you kind of want your Rui Hachimura. So I kind of struggle with that one, to be honest, but we'll see.
So, Karita, what are your expectations for this team, your personal expectations? What do you think? Are they a playoff team? Are they a play-in type of team? Or are they not a playoff team?
My expectation is for them to be a playoff team. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little concerned with that last preseason game. I mean, you'll want to go into the regular season with some momentum, and they just didn't play very well to me in that last preseason game. I'm hoping that just has to do with them still needing to kind of build that team chemistry. But I do think, I expect for them to be in the playoffs. At this point, at the worst, I would say a play-in team. But at the best, they need to make it to the playoffs this season, period, in my opinion.
Well, we hope they...
No play-in, no nothing.
We hope, man. It's all on Brad, right?
it's all on Brad.
I mean, right? if you pay Bradley that kind of money, I'm calling him Bradley because we're talking about this contract, okay? If you pay Bradley that kind of money, you need to go to the playoffs this year, period.
Wow.
Period. If you want, because you know, if they don't make it to the playoffs, even if they go to the play-in, the first thing people are going to holler about is Bradley's extension.
Well, Karita, I'm looking at this Sixers team and I'm seeing just how Embiid and Harden are playing together especially in the middle pick and roll game, man. And I'm hoping that we can get to see just a sliver of that with Brad and Kristaps Porzingis this year. But Karita, yep. Karita, we're about to wrap up this segment, but we want to thank you for being on. Before we let you go, please let our listeners know how they can find you on social media, and please tell them about your podcast.
Yes, so you can find me on social media at Karita C. Parts. You can also follow my company, Double Take Sports, at DBL Take Sports. And we will be starting the Triple W podcast again this season, so that's at Triple W Pod on social media. And last but not least, I just started a new venture. I'm also serving as a lead contributor for Sports Illustrated Fan Nation's Inside the Wizards website. Nice.
Okay.
So writing for them now too. So yeah, your girl's out here doing it with abundance of Wizards content.
Okay, SI too now. Okay, I see you. I see
yes,
you.
Yes.
All right, that's what's up, creator. Hey, we're gonna definitely have you back on. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Holla.
All right, holla. Take it.
Holla at you.
Oh, man, it's awesome, man. Karita Parks, man. Check her out on Twitter, at Karita C. Parks. Dope person. Dang, SI doing it big. All right, man.
Nah, it was great. It was great to have Karita on, man. We definitely appreciate her. Yeah. But
go ahead, bro.
After the break, after the break, we will discuss Deontay. A great, I'm not going to say it wasn't a great night of boxing, but we'll discuss a jam-packed event. Full night of boxing.
You ain't lying about that, bro.
After the break, it's the Urban Sports Scene.
On Amp Pyre Media.
For ages.
Oh, sorry. I got twisted. Hey, say it again. Let's do it again. I don't care. Let's do it again. I don't care about these streams. Do it again.
Jesus Christ. All right. After the break, we'll discuss an eventful night of boxing.
All right.
It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
On Amp Pyre Media. That's amppyremedia.com.
I promise you, I ain't high.
We the best music.
Another one.
DJ Khaled.
I like the wretchedest women.
Go.
Whoop, whoop. G6, let's get it.
Whoop.
Rich coming down to the city.
On God.
Yo, God. Outside getting litty. Showing me the titties.
Whoop.
Acting like a menace.
Whoop.
Standing on the couch.
What?
Standing on business.
Go.
Drinks in your mouth.
Drink.
Swallow, don't spit it.
Swallow.
Party all the time.
Whoop.
Feeling like Diddy.
Diddy.
Shining a little wrist.
Ice.
Feeling like Billy.
Billy.
God did. I'm a witness.
Whoop.
I just sent 50 bottles to.
Whoop.
Know the gang getting a vip by the penis.
Whoop.
Still in the meeting. Be back in a minute. The phone talking chicken.
Hey.
We the best, we too blessed, we keep winning.
We the best.
The party won't stop, it won't finish. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
Get it.
We did it.
I'm committed.
We all in it.
In it.
In the city. We getting litty.
Lit.
Get out your feelings and go get some benches.
God did. I'm a witness.
Woo.
I just sent 50 bottles to.
Woo.
Know the gang getting a fit by the penis.
So.
Still in the meeting, be back in a minute.
Till I activate, throw it back, it got an aftertaste.
Patty
cake coming, 6 figures of patty face.
Patty.
The school at Hard Knocking, I graduated. I can't f with that be aggravated. If I can't get that bag, I'm agitated.
Bad.
She popping that, but she graduated.
Poppin'.
On the party, it's animated. They keep telling me it's my time to Tony Hawk grind like.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T. And I'm Wole, the homie Ray DC's out, and we are part of Amp Pyre Media at amppyremedia.com. All right, former heavyweight champ. Will mentioned it because it wasn't like a great night of boxing, but it was a lot of boxing though.
It was an action-packed, eventful
exactly.
Night of boxing.
But I'm gonna mention, you know, it's the heavyweights. Everybody likes to see the heavyweights. So former heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder KO'd Robert Helenius, in the first round. To you, Will, watching that fight. I know it's one round.
I didn't
watch it. You didn't watch it.
I watched that particular.
So I'm gonna tell you what I thought.
I was watching the Devin Haney.
I watched that too. I'm not gonna say it's Wilder back to form if you watched it, because I watched it. I will say this: you watch a lot of TV in my life. I watch a lot of TV, and you watch shows with say dives. That I know somebody argued with me said no, he wouldn't dive. That looked like a dive type of punch. Like I'm sorry. Like Deontay's
a powerful man.
Punch. He's a powerful
very,
man.
Very powerful man.
Yeah, but that punch wasn't that kind of punch though. And it wasn't.
You've seen him throw punches with far more worse intent
to hurt
someone.
Yeah, and that one, it just didn't look right. And especially, and this is the thing: if he had just went down, then I could have been like, all right, he went down.
Mm-hmm.
But to be down.
So you're saying you think
like
he just wanted to
be,
get the payday?
Yeah,
and
to be
out
down
and
like
get
that.
And get the easy workout out of the way.
Yeah, because I even seen this, like, I love Mike Tyson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Mike Tyson. There have been fights that I've been like, when Mike hits you, he grazed you. But at least you saw, my thing is that when Mike grazed you, though it still like it was fake, it looked like somebody took a dive. When he grazed you, it was with full vicious intent that he grazed you,
mm-hmm.
right? This punch wasn't any intent. There was no intent. You can't tell me there was the intent was to knock him out with that punch. It was a show punch, and he got that dude off the mat.
Well,
I even had Wilder fans who agreed with me too. Like I was like, "Yo,
I'm not going to accuse any boxer of taking a dive."
Yeah,
I'll say that.
Good job, Will. You're a nice guy.
But I'll say this: not just for Deontay Wilder, for any of the top level elite fighters, if you aren't in it to cement a legacy of being an all-time great, what are you in it for? Mm-hmm. And I say that because to do that, there's a level of competition you face.
Yes, it's true.
And on Saturday, I understand Deontay Wilder went through three physically,
about who he fought. Got you.
Yes, three physically intensive fights with Tyson Fury, one of the best heavyweights in boxing right now.
Facts.
Huge, 6'9", very skilled with his feet and his hands and his mind. You know, for Deontay Wilder, I understand he needed to take a fight or fight a fighter to get back on track, to get this confidence, and also to announce to the world that I'm back. But to fight that level of fighter, a guy who isn't even really a contender per se, to me, it does more to harm
boxing,
to harm boxing, right? And also, it makes me, you know, question, is Deontay Wilder really, really back? Because if he's really back and you've been facing the most elite of elite heavyweights, I'm not saying you jump in the ring with Anthony Joshua. I'm not saying you jump back in the ring with Usyk.
Yeah.
But jumping into the ring with, I don't know, maybe an Andy Ruiz.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's one of the fights, a guy who's a former heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Right, that to me lets me know that
you're for real about this sport.
I'm not questioning his passion for the sport. I'm saying that you're for real about facing a high level of competition.
No, it's just like, you know, I mean, people make fun of him, but at the end of the day, like, look at Anthony Joshua was a prime example. You know what I mean? Like, he's not trying to fight. Like you said, he's gone down and he's fought. He continues to try to fight, some of the people put his name back out there. You know what I'm saying? Well, I guess this is a better test, though. We'll know better about that the next person Anthony Joshua fights. I think that's fair. Because Ruiz beat him, you get the rematch. Same thing with Usyk beat him, gets the rematch. We'll know this fight, if he fights somebody that's more respectable in his next fight, then we can say, all right, then he's kind of showed that, like you said, care about the game of boxing. But
Not care about your legacy in boxing.
Yes. Put it like that, I'm sorry. So, yeah, I agree with you. I'm not going to say he's back because, again, I've seen him. Like, when we talk about, to your point, Will, like, the issue with Deontay Wilder was never power, right? So you can't test what you learned and what you've done with that type of caliber of talent, the guy that you fought. Like, you can't test yourself. You don't know. Like, if you picked up or gotten better off of what happened to you against Fury, you know what I'm saying? And obviously, you know, he still feels a certain way about that fight. Anybody watch the pivot, like, he feels a certain way about that fight. And he thinks that...
I'm not informed of how he feels.
I'm going to watch the pivot. He feels that Fury cheated with the gloves and... tactics.
I don't know how true that is.
This is the thing I believe in, dog. You lost three times. The first time they gave you a draw.
Yeah,
the second and third fights were one-sided. The only fight, even the first fight, if you look at rounds, like you do rounds for rounds, the only thing, he had the knockdowns, but it lasted, and he pretty much dominated. I'm talking about just in terms of winning most of the rounds. Mm-hmm. Like, if we put it this way. In all the rounds, other than knockouts, in all of the rounds, forget the knockdowns, all right? I'll eliminate the knockdowns for you if your issue is that you got knocked down by Fury. If that's your issue, right? And he cheated. That is your issue, right? If we're going to do rounds, you lost most of the rounds in all three fights. If you put all three fights together in rounds, you're still behind. So to me, like, you lost to the better boxer, bro. Like, it is what it is. But anyway, just even that, even for him, it's like, we don't get to see if he improved on what everybody has talked about Deontay Wilder. Has he gotten better as a boxer?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That level of competition that he faced wouldn't have allowed him to get the work in. And I know he gets work in with sparring partners.
Yeah, of course.
Right? At the gym when he's training. But to... That's why I'm talking about going into the deep end.
Yeah, you want to see it.
And testing himself and showing and displaying a certain level of skill set from a boxing perspective.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you, bro. I'm with you, man. All right, man, let's go to Devin Haney, man. Devin Haney beat George Kambosos by unanimous decision to retain the undisputed lightweight championship. Man, thoughts, man?
I told you prior to the first fight with George Kambosos, I thought we would see the making of a star. There would be an arrival of another star in boxing. Devin Haney did the things that I thought he would do, and he cemented it. He showed that it wasn't a fluke, right? Mm-hmm. So many times we see boxers, you know, if there's a rematch clause and they win, they try to do certain things to get the fight to go away, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Devin Haney said, no, I'll go right back over to Australia. I beat you cleanly the first time. I want to beat you cleanly the second time. And you can have any excuse you want. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to feed into it. So if I'm top rank and I'm Bob Arum, I'm thinking I have a stable of superstars on my hands with Shakur Stevens and then also with Devin Haney.
You have
two young, dynamic African-American fighters who will realistically for the next 5 to 10 years in boxing are going to be in pay-per-view fights and fights that I think that the general public after a while will want to see if they're promoted right.
And they got Jared, my God.
Jared Anderson.
I think he's a young heavyweight superstar, man.
He's a future star in the heavyweight championship.
Like, I think he's kind of, you know, all the talk has been about, you know, PBC's having, like, the talent. But I think, like you said, I think when you're looking at what's happening, what he's building, you know, it's patience, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you got some guys who aren't happy, but it's patience. You got some younger cats that you got dudes that are not just great, not just skilled, but special.
And also think of it like this, you know, what did we see? Where was the Deontay Wilder fight? That was pay-per-view.
Yeah. Right?
And these guys are fighting on ESPN, and they're fighting on ESPN on Saturdays right after college football, so they're getting great lead-ins.
Yeah.
So, you know, over the years, man, it'll be interesting to see where Devin Haney goes next and who he faces next. But, you know, I just hope that if he is going to work with Bob Arum going forward, you know, he puts himself in a position where he can fight not just fighters on top rank, but fighters who work
everywhere,
with other promoters. That's the game's missing, man. And that's why I think, you know, we alluded to it. It was an eventful night.
Eventful night full of fights. Yeah.
But you look at two competing cards, right? That confuses the general public and the boxing public, man.
It does, man.
And it distracts away from what's important, which is putting together great competition. And that's why you see UFC has continuously taken market share.
Boxing,
and people,
these promoters got, to your point, they got to put the egos aside. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, just work together. Like, you can make this whole thing special. Because if you eat, everybody eats. This whole thing about trying to, like, take care of your stable, take care of your boxes. But if you eat, everybody eat. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
To a point, man. Like, if you really want this whole thing to work and be dynamic, because we said this, but it's a plethora of great young talent, man.
The world doesn't know about because you could either only fight on DAZN or you could fight on ESPN or you could fight with PBC.
Yeah.
Right? To me, I understand that from an economic standpoint, as a promoter, you want to do what's
right
best
your,
for you,
you
and keep the money for
you
yourself.
You can do both, though. You can do both.
You know what I'm saying?
You can do both. So to me, it's not a good excuse for these dudes. I'm with you, Wilshere. I totally agree with you, man. So, all right, man. PBC, another, you know, that which is something that was on the PBC card, the Deontay Wilder card, super middleweight Caleb Plant KO, bro, and I mean KO Anthony Durrell in the 9th round. Man, when you saw that knockout, did the trash talking come to your mind first? The stuff that Durrell was talking, or did you was just in all the knockout?
First, my biggest thing is he okay?
Okay, yeah.
That's my first thing. The first thing is he okay? His health, neurologically, physically, mentally, is he okay? Mm. Second thing is, man, that's why we watch the sport.
Yes.
That's what we want. True. I mean, these guys are losing a lot mentally and physically when these things happen.
Yeah.
But that's what attracts people to the sport. That's true. Why, you know, outside of two gladiators competing and pushing themselves physically,
mm-hmm.
we watch it for those one shots that annihilate
shot,
a guy.
That one clean shot. That's yeah. what you're right. That's what we watch it for. You know, especially when you look at, to me, I mean, not to say that Caleb Plant doesn't have any power, but it's just, I didn't expect that. You know what I mean?
No, I definitely didn't
You know
expect
what I mean?
That.
Like, and it was just, and it, you know, I said that Caleb Plant was going to beat Darrell. I think everybody thought, I mean, Alvin, did you think he was going to beat Darrell?
In that fashion, no.
No, but I thought he was going to win by the cards. That's how I looked at Caleb Plant.
Oh, you thought it would go, it would
I thought
you
it would go distance. I thought Plant would beat him.
To the day.
Yeah.
Go to the distance.
I thought Caleb Plant would beat him.
To be honest with you, I thought Darrell might squeak it out.
Okay.
Squeak it out late.
Yeah. So I
was wrong.
Yeah, but I was surprised though. I mean, it was clean. It was a nice clean punch. I was like, dang, got him. Like, he just got him. I mean, but you know what? I think Caleb Plant, you know, is a good boxer. I do. I really think he's a good boxer. I thought he did some good things against Canelo. It's just that he wasn't a fighter that Canelo was going to be scared of. I said that. Like, he's just not that type of dude.
No, he couldn't.
He wouldn't be able to fend Canelo off.
Yeah, his power wasn't enough.
It wasn't scary enough, you know,
to hold Canelo back.
So, the skill, though his skill wasn't on the level of, like, say, a Mayweather or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but that doesn't, I said it before, and I said that even when he took the loss, and I think he pretty much, I mean, he said it himself. Like, he's not done. You know, I went against the best, and this, you know, I had to test myself. Like, when he fought Canelo.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you're not wrong with losing to one of the best in the game, it doesn't mean that you're not still a prize fighter. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So to me, this knockout showed that, like, he's still one of the best super middleweights out there in the game. And you know, they panned to Charlo. So, you know, I don't know if that fight's going to ever happen.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, Charlo. I think Charlo will get him, but, you know.
Yeah, I think Charlo will win.
Me
but,
too, yeah.
You know, it would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Especially, it would be interesting coming off of this performance.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
If we see that fight coming off of this performance.
That's money. That's a promoter's dream, though. See what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah.
When you get this performance, you got to jump on this quick. Like, this has got to be something you got to work on. Like,
yeah, you got to put
be money.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't get a huge fight for Plant next,
yes.
Then you got to put him in there with an opponent that could only escalate his profile to get him back to a championship level.
Totally agree, man. All right, man. We're about to go to break. As part of our HBCU Corner segment, we'll play our interview with Bethune-Cookman tight end Kamari Averin after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
We the best music.
Another one.
DJ Khaled.
I like the wretchedest women.
Go.
G6, let's get it.
Woo.
Rich coming down to the city.
On God.
Yo, God. Outside getting litty. Showing me the titties.
Woo.
Acting like a menace.
Woo.
Standing on the couch.
What?
Standing on business.
Go.
Drinks in your mouth.
Drink.
Swallow, don't spit it.
Swallow.
Party all the time.
Woo.
Feeling like Diddy.
Diddy.
Standing a little wrist.
Ice.
Feeling like Billy.
Billy.
God did.
Woo.
I'm a witness.
Woo.
I just sent 50 bottles to.
Woo.
Know the gang getting a vip by the penis.
Woo.
Still in the meeting. Be back in a minute.
Brr.
The phone talking chicken.
Hey.
We the best, we too blessed, we keep winning.
We the best.
The party won't stop, it won't finish. Let's get it.
Let's get it.
Get it.
We did it.
Did it.
I'm committed.
Committed.
We all in it.
In it.
In the city.
City.
We getting litty.
Lit.
Get out your feelings and go get some benches.
God did. I'm a witness.
Woo.
I just sent 50 bottles to.
Woo.
Know the gang getting a fit by the penis.
Soof.
Still in the meeting, be back in a minute.
Till I activate, throw it back, it got an aftertaste.
Patty
cake coming 6 figures of patty face.
Patty.
The school at heart knocking, I graduated. I can't f*** with that b- be aggravated. If I can't get that bag, I'm agitated.
Bad.
She popping that, but she graduated.
Pop it.
The party is animated.
Animated.
They keep telling me it's my time to Tony Hawk grind like it, I gotta take it. Angels watch over me, looking at demons and can't run, you gotta face it. When they give up on you, down it with you. Take it back to the bases. I'm a Dundada. Lace up my Pradas. Popping my collar. 36 Mafia.
Get it.
We did it.
Did it.
I'm committed.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wole Park. of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. The homie Ray G's out. We want to thank you all for tuning into our show. We appreciate you all. Before we sign off, listen to our HBCU Corner interview with Bethune-Cookman University tight end Kamari Averin. Thanks again, and enjoy your night.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray and Wole, and it's time for our HBCU Corner segment. And let me introduce our guest, whose collegiate football career began at the University of Louisville, where he spent two seasons prior to transferring to the historic Bethune-Cookman University, where he starred as a tight end and finished the 2021 season with an impressive 52 receptions, 888 yards, and 11 touchdowns. Our guest breakout season led him being named the 2021 Hero Sports FCS All-American team, and he is widely considered an emerging NFL prospect. Welcome to the Urban Sports Scene at HBCU Corner, Kamari Averitt. What's good, brother?
What's up, Ray, man?
What's going on, man?
Good to have you on.
Everything good. How about you guys?
We good, man. We good. You know, weather changing. So we went from the summer to the fall, and now we're just trying to, like, get used to it.
What's the weather like where you at, bro?
Well, I'm in Florida, man. It's as much as Daytona, so it's raining all every day. Thundering and rain.
I know. Florida weather be tripping me. It's tripping me out. I ain't going to lie. That thing's something different. Hey, but we're getting right. Let's get into, like, some warm-up questions. So real quick, you I want to know, how is your HBCU experience in Bethune? Like, what's the experience like over there?
Well, coming from PWI, that was, like, the biggest transition for me. At Louisville, like, star player, you get special treatment. Even if you're a star player here, you still, like, regular to everybody. I never worked a job when I was at Louisville. I had to work a job here. It actually, HBCU lifestyle, I put it on my Twitter the other day. It really helped you learn how to survive in the real world. Mm-hmm. Rather than I was at Louisville, and safe ends if I didn't go to the NFL from Louisville, I probably wouldn't know what was next for me. But now, since I've been at HBCU, I was able to figure out what I can do after football.
Okay. So let's go to more of a fun thing. How was homecoming compared to Louisville to Bethune? Like, how was a homecoming experience? Come on,
we were all our kind and we just enjoy ourselves. Like, bump homecoming, it's the Florida Classic, man. Like, my first time, I'm like, dang, like, I know Louisville games be packed, but coming to that, the Classic, man, it was just like, that was like crazy. I don't know how many fans understand, but homecoming is pretty cool too. I'm not the type of person at a party, so like, I'll tell you about the fun part, but I know the game it'd be good.
You like the band experience then? We don't have to talk about the partying part, like the band, the whole band.
Our band, knows. When I first got here, people was telling me about the band instead of the football. The band, they pretty good.
So let me ask you, is FAMU, that's y'all rival, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I had to confirm it because my homegirl went to FAMU and I accidentally said you went to Bethune, and she was like she started mugging me. I'm like, is it that serious? Like, so how do y'all look, or how do you view FAMU down there?
I mean, I'm new here. So, like, people with them, if my team beef with them, it's smoke with them boys too, man.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay, so, I mean, you play the tight end position. Who's your favorite football? Who's your favorite tight end?
I got a couple of. Well, okay. Right, Darren Waller, play for the Raiders.
He on my fantasy team. I love him.
Travis Kelce is a pretty decent tight end. Mark Andrews and Kyle Pitts, but I don't really call Kyle Pitts a tight end because he really like a receiver to me.
So who's your favorite player then? It may not be a tight end, but who's your favorite football player?
Lamar Jackson.
Makes sense. Louis. Makes sense. I mean, he's out here in this area. We're located in Maryland, so he's in Baltimore. So it's not that far from us, but yeah. So all right. So what are some of your favorite hobbies?
Well, I read books. I'm currently reading. It's a book. I don't forget the name of it. It's right here. Hold on. It's called The Mentor Leader from Tony Dungy. You guys should know him. He was currently an NFL coach. Uh-huh. So I was reading that book. I just got finished reading Secure the Bag. It was a pretty decent book. I actually play the game as well. I did start playing 2K. I really don't play Madden because I was so good at Madden. I just had to stop playing it. Since I've been in Daytona, you know we stay right by the beach. So when I need to clear my mind and get some free time, I just go to the beach and just chill out there.
That's what's up, bro. So does that help you in terms of just coping with what happens during the game and the season? Like, I know this season hasn't started off the way you all have wanted. So what's your mindset now? What was your mindset coming into the year?
Dominate. But actually, that don't really do – I listen to motivational speeches to prepare me for games. Like, I don't know why. It's give me chills, bro. Like, hearing Ikey Johnson or –
Ikey Johnson.
If y'all – Steve Harvey is a real great motivational speaker, man. Him and E.T. I listen to them three, man, and they just get me going.
Oh, yeah. E.T., you listen to all the heavy hitters then?
Yes, sir.
He's been doing it for a minute. So has Ikey Johnson, man. Now, he's real inspirational, man, just based on all he overcame. And I don't know if you saw him on the pivot. I don't like to, like, highlight other podcasts while I'm doing my thing. But at the same time, his story is crazy, man, the way he grew up. So keep doing what you're doing. Maybe that's what you got a future in. You never know.
Yes, sir.
Check out Denzel too.
Hey, hold fast. Like you can shout the pivot. The pivot like that, bro. You can. I shout the pivot all the time.
Whatever. I strive to be great. You know what I'm saying? Wait, what?
All over everywhere, man. But also, all right. So last year you had over 800 yards receiving. What were going into this season? What are some of your statistical goals?
I'm trying to either match numbers or get better numbers than last season because I know that'll be – like, I already put myself on the map, but if I can have two consistent seasons, I could possibly be a draft pick coming from HBCU. So doubling them numbers or putting up the same numbers and adding more touchdowns, that'd be great for me.
So, I mean, you're an athletic tight end. So we already talked about, like, who your favorite tight ends, but who do you feel like you compare mostly to?
Probably – Jordan Davis, he's from Florida. He played at Florida. He played for the Washington Redskins. He recently just retired last year. Or Dan Waller, I would say. Or you can compare me. Some people say Rob Gronkowski. Mm.
Okay. I like that.
That's big.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Waller, though. I like the Waller comparison. That's one of my favorites because he's one of my favorites.
I say people probably say that because, I don't know. The last time I ran a 40 was at Louisville. I was 270 pounds. I ran a 4.7. So that's what people they say, Rakowski, but I'm quite way faster than him.
Mm-hmm. Are you still at 270?
No, sir. 250.
Okay. 250, see? There you go. Ah, I love it.
how you do that? What you cut out, bread?
Man, I went on a real strict diet. Like, I used to eat a lot of burgers. That was my favorite food, actually, red meat. Cut out the red meat. Mm-hmm. The breads for a minute. It took some time. Like once upon a time, like when I left Louisville, I was kind of in the press stage. I got all the way up to 289. Mm. I got Bethune, and I just started. I knew I had to work harder than what I was doing at Louisville, so I was working out 4 to 5 times a day. I even was working out with the track team, so it helped me out a whole lot. And I lost all.
Oh yeah, man! Track ladies is out. Yeah, man, I ain't gonna lie. That's distracting, but I'm glad you got the discipline. And I want to say you fit in well on this show. We gave up red meat the same way.
Yeah.
Real talk. But
yeah, real talk.
You talk about transferring to Bethune. What went into your mindset selecting Bethune and HBCU, just the HBCU alone?
So, like, when I got kicked out of Louisville, a lot of Power Fives came, but I just feel like they didn't, like, want to fully commit to me. The recruiting coordinator here, Chad Lucas, he actually sat down with me and talked it out. I had other HBCUs, like the South Carolina State, but, you know, HBCU funding be, like, kind of crazy. So it was just like, if you weren't finna put me on a full-ride scholarship, I was never coming to your school, like, because I didn't have the money to pay for the school. And they kept it real from day one. I came up here, like, the beach and stuff, like the coaching staff. Coach Sam's a very great coach, and it's just like, from recruiting to now, they still the same people. Like, I can come to them about anything and talk to them about anything. So I was just big on the relationship I had with them.
So obviously being at an HBCU, how big would it be for you to make it to a league knowing that you got Bethune-Cookman on your back? and man, an HBCU like whole title and name on your back as well.
I mainly Bethune-Cookman, bro. I can't tell you the last person that got drafted from here. I really want to. I don't have any scouts coming in and out for me to get my name called. That would mean so much to me and to my team, because then it ain't just me here. We got other athletes here too. And that will really bring Bethune-Cookman some more recruits in. Like, you see how the Jackson State, Grambling, they bringing all these 4-5-stars, 3-stars in. Hopefully, when I get drafted from here, that can help bring guys in to make Bethune be Bethune again.
Dope, man, dope. I want to say the last person that went to Bethune was a Terrence Mathis. Not Mathis. I want to say his last name was Mathis. It is Mathis, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Who, Robert
Jacksonville?
Mathis?
He played for Jacksonville. He was a cornerback back in the day. And now I'm aging myself. Now I'm really aging myself. It is what it is. But I think I want to say it's Mathis, though. I can't think of his first name, but it's losing my mind. But anyway, hey, before we let you go, is there anything you would like to add?
Oh, Rashawn Mathis.
Yeah, Rashawn Mathis. That's what I'm thinking of. Is there anything you would like to add? Huh?
He got drafted like 2015?
He got drafted. He was a second. I wouldn't say he was a second round pick because he led the nation in interception.
Nah, that's 2003, my dude.
Yeah, 2003.
I don't know how old you was back then.
Yeah, why you age me, bro? I told that.
He asked the year. Hey, bro, I had just graduated from college that year, bro. So I'm just as old as Rashawn Mathis, baby.
Yeah, man. I tried to graduate from college that year. Put it that way.
But I don't got too much I want to say. I got a documentary coming out soon, so that's real big for me. Uh-huh. It's all about my life story and how I got through adversity and stuff. So that's something to be looking out for.
Man, well, thanks for being on HBCU Corner, man. We wish the best for you, man. I can't wait to see you play on Sundays, my man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys.